I wanted to say to all of my brothers that I've really appreciated the time that we've spent together. It's been a real clarification process for me in a number of areas. And it's been, as I say, let me word it this way. We are not a denomination.
No.
So we are not fighting for denominational unity. This is not what we're fighting for here. A lot of us are people that have come out of a fragmented and disintegrating organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so there is a desire to connect, but because a lot of us have come out of this organization, it means that a lot of us are reevaluating a lot of things. Because of the fact that I was a Seventh-day Adventist minister, I was preaching the Trinity, I was baptizing people into the Trinity, and then to realize that I was completely wrong on this point has caused me to reevaluate many, many things in my life and to ask God to guide me. And I think we're all going through this process. And so as I came to this meeting, as I said, I was seeking to understand the arts of a diplomatic process. I was looking for... I was seeking to offer flexibility as much as I could in my understanding and looking for a responding chord of flexibility. I have not encountered that in these meetings. I have met with a very firm position, and that's good. At least I understand. There's firmness in the position that's being offered. And that's become very clear to me in terms of how this issue, particularly the statutes and the judgments, are going to be dealt with. We have not had time to deal with we've dealt a lot on the issue of justification. We haven't really dealt much with sanctification in terms of the relevance of 1844, the investigative judgment, and all of these questions. And I just want to say this to you, that on the subject of 1844 and the atonement and the judgment, I had attended Avondale College for a number of years. I was taught by men who were disciples of Desmond Ford. So either you know, it was the perfect environment for me, because on that subject of 1844, victory over sin, the law and these things within the most holy place, my mind was forged in steel when it comes to this issue. Because it was either go with all of these men because of the logical consequences and implications of what they were saying to me, I was either going to go that way, or I was going to go and stand on the pioneer platform. And so these are the issues that are really significant to me. And the issue of the Sabbath and the implications of the Sabbath, and the fact that I am a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm very thankful to the Lord for David Hewitt, who coined that phrase and gave it to us as a people. So the Seventh-day Sabbath is central, along with the sanctuary and all of these things. And the implications of this will become apparent. And so I wanted to see particularly how close that David and I could come together because of the different positions that we hold. We've had a long discussion about this. We have a different understanding. And let me state this at first, that in reference to the Seventh-day Sabbath, the position that David has expressed to me, and I'm so thankful about my brother David, he's honest and he tells you direct, and you get a clear understanding, and that's very, very good. But when David says to me that he does not keep the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, that's entirely consistent with this theology. He keeps the Sabbath of Eden. I understand this. That's very, very clear. My understanding from an Adventist mindset, is the Sabbath of the fourth commandment is central to the final conflict, the final crisis. It's the sign, it's the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. And so this is where we come to why I asked the question about, is there a law in an ark in a heavenly sanctuary in heaven? I got pounded with this question when I was in college studying to be a minister. This was the issue that was put to me. And so the only way I could maintain what I was seeing in Scripture from an Adventist perspective was to agree with James White that this is not an issue of spiritualization. There is a literal sanctuary with a literal priest, with a literal ark, with a literal candlestick, with a literal Ten Commandments. And if I step away from that, I enter onto a path that leads to the spiritualization of the entire system. What I didn't realize while I was at Avondale College was that spiritualization process didn't begin with a sanctuary, it began with the Father and the Son. The spiritualization of Father and Son, so that they're not actually Father and Son. The God I worship has a form. He has a face, he has hands, he has arms, he sits, he has ears, he has eyes, he has all of these things. This is literal, it's not spiritual. And so the sanctuary in heaven is literal, and it has a literal Ten Commandments. The implications of the fact that there are literal Ten Commandments written in heaven for me, I hope you're picking it up, are drastic in terms of the discussion that we've been having here for a long, long time. The fact that they're still there, they're still in heaven, they're written down, they're written up there. And that's dramatic. And so this has been the thing I've been wrestling with in my mind in terms of the gospel and Adventism and the plan of salvation and focusing it all down into the final events of what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. David has said to me a number of times that I am stuck in an Adventist mindset. I accept that. That's I'm stuck, okay? I'm stuck not because I've been caught, because I stand there. That's where I stand, and I'm stuck right there because that's where I stand. And so I just wanted to say this to you because so that we can understand each other. It's really, really important that we all respect each other and we understand. This is where I'm coming from. And so on the question of the Sabbath, the statement of moving from the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment to the Sabbath of Eden is moving in the opposite direction of what I understand as a Seventh-day Adventist and the final events. The Sabbath, the seal of the Sabbath, the sanctification of the Sabbath, this is central to Adventist thinking. There will be a sign between me and you that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. And so, as I have wrestled with the Father and Son question, as I have agonized on this question, and I'm hearing a very clear clarion call coming through about, in regard to the statutes and the judgments, and particularly the feasts, that if you only take it as a principle, you're not giving a very clear message. And so as I've been thinking and weighing this up, I want to declare to my brethren here that because, as David Barron said, we know the date, October 22nd, 1844, we can calculate this date, and because of everything that I've understood to this point, that I'm going to stand on that fact that the feasts are applicable and that we have appointed times and we can know those times, and that this is the Sabbath being proclaimed more fully. And that's the position I am intending to take from this day forward. So there's no misunderstanding. That's where I stand, and so that you all understand where I'm coming from. So I know that means that it's probably not the outcome that many of you wish, but it certainly has clarified my own mind. I don't, as I said, we are not a denomination. We've come out, we want to see how much we can work together. I would not in any way want to, for the sake of harmony, for David to stop doing what he's doing, or any of you stop doing what you want to do, or what you feel the Lord is calling you to do. I believe the Lord's called me to remember the law of Moses with the statutes and the judgments. Amen. And so that's what I intend to do. And I've really appreciated this time together, because it's really clarified my mind, it's crystallized my thinking on this point. So, and I've listened to I think I've had enough time to listen carefully to the arguments, to the presentations. I've listened as carefully as I can. I've prayed about this. I've pled with the Lord. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I understand perfectly, and please get this clear. From the theological foundations that I have heard from many of you speak, what I'm saying is completely illogical. But I don't stand there. I'm standing somewhere else. And so to me, it makes absolute sense. And so I'm just letting you know. And so that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Are we going to ask questions?
Let's do that afterwards.